Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM, but we also have as our special guest and friend, Rob Bowman from the Institute for Religious Research, IRR.org, if you want to check out their website. Yesterday, we were talking about the faith crisis that many Latter-day Saints go through once they start learning from various sources, and now it seems to be even from LDS.org that some of the things that they have been told are not, in fact, worth believing. And there's been a huge rewrite of Mormon history, which is causing many to have a huge crisis of faith. And we were discussing, well, what do we do as Christians to help them in this? Because if we don't give them something to put their trust in, they're going to drift off into secularism. And of course, the answer that we feel that we have is the Bible, but if you were to say it's the Bible, I would venture to say that many Mormons would just roll their eyes because they've been raised on this idea that the Bible has not been translated accurately. And of course, we understand Article 8 to really mean or really imply that our Bible has not been transmitted correctly. Even their own scholars would admit that the Bibles we have in existence today are translated pretty well. But they would argue that perhaps what's been translated is not the text that should be there, that it's been corrupted. There's a phrase in the Book of Mormon that talks about many plain and precious things being taken away. Now, how would you convince them that the Bible is something worth believing? How do we do this as Christians? How do we get them to see that what they may have learned as a Mormon is not entirely accurate when it comes to our Bible?
Well, let's start with the most basic issue, and that is the antiquity of the Book of Mormon, the antiquity of the Book of Abraham as compared to the antiquity of the Bible. All of these purported scriptural texts purport to be ancient writings. Book of Abraham, supposedly written by the patriarch Abraham almost 4,000 years ago. Book of Mormon, written over a period of 1,000 years from about 600 BC to about 400 AD. The Bible, according to its internal evidence, would have been written from about 1500 BC until the end of the first century AD. Now, in the case of the Book of Abraham and the Book of Mormon, we have evidence putting it beyond reasonable doubt that these are not ancient texts at all, that they are 19th century fictions created by Joseph Smith. That is the opinion, of course, of all non-Mormon scholars, and it is the opinion of some Mormon scholars, too, who are dissidents, who have said, you know what, the evidence now shows this is the case, and there are good reasons for that conclusion. With regards to the Bible, there is no serious dispute about the antiquity of the Bible. Everybody agrees that the books of the Old Testament were written prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, and most of them in the first millennium BC, and that all of the books of the New Testament were written in the first century AD, and you'll find some liberal scholars who want to date them into the early second century. But we're talking about quibbles compared to what we're talking about with the Book of Abraham or the Book of Mormon. So the antiquity of the Bible is not in dispute. This is ancient. These are ancient writings. They are not modern fictions posing as ancient writings. That's a very basic difference. We have a stream of texts from the 2nd century BC for the Old Testament and from the 2nd century AD for the New Testament, of manuscript copies of various portions of the Old and New Testaments in the original languages in which they were written, quotations from those books by Jewish and Christian writers, a continuous stream of paper trail that's over 2,000 years long that documents that these books have been in existence continuously throughout that period. Now, when we say 2nd century BC for the Old Testament, that's 1,000 years better than what we had in Joseph Smith's day. The manuscript evidence from the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Cairo Geniza and other manuscript discoveries since Joseph Smith's day for the Old Testament have not overturned the text of the Bible for the Old Testament. It has amounted to minor refinements in the wording of various passages, but not wholesale discoveries of new material that should have been in Genesis but wasn't, that talk about Enoch's visions and all the rest of it. The same thing for the New Testament. Manuscript discoveries since Joseph Smith's day have simply allowed us to refine the text of the New Testament. The changes don't amount to more than about 1% of the text, maybe even less than 1% of the text. The substance of even those, that 1%, isn't remarkable for the most part. It's just repeating stuff that's already somewhere else in the New Testament. So we have a reliable ancient collection of scriptures in the Bible. We do not have that in the Book of Mormon or the Book of Abraham. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, whereas with the Book of Mormon and the Book of Abraham, well, let's start with the Book of Mormon. In the case of the Book of Mormon, you cannot check the translation against anything to see if it even roughly corresponds to it. There are no gold plates to be examined. If there ever were, they're buried somewhere or who knows what. There's no manuscript copies in the ancient language. There isn't even a handwritten copy of a recognizable text, supposedly from the gold plates. There is the so-called Anthon transcript.
That's not a whole lot of characters.
It's not a lot of characters, and it doesn't seem to be copied from a particular passage that anybody's been able to identify.
That's an excellent point. You're right.
And in fact, they won't be able to, probably, because based on what we know, the Anthon transcript would have been copied from a different portion of the plates, if it was copied from plates at all, which I think the evidence is it wasn't. But nevertheless, it's not going to correspond to anything in the Book of Mormon. So the fact is, we have no ancient language script material, textual material for the Book of Mormon whatsoever, with which to compare the English Book of Mormon to see if it even roughly corresponds.
So you're left with the testimony of Joseph Smith then?
You're basically taking his word for it, that this is what it said. Now, of course, you have the testimonies of the 3 and the 8 witnesses who claimed that they saw the plates, but they have no idea what was on the plates. Even if there was foreign language, you know, or scribbles on the plates, they have no idea if they said anything at all.
And plus the fact that there's evidence in Mormon sources that specifically for the 3 witnesses, volume 1 of the Documentary History of the Church makes it very clear they saw the plates only by faith and in vision.
In a visionary.
In a vision.
And there's a lot of things that we could say about that, but the point that I want to emphasize here is that for the text of the Book of Mormon, we have to take Joseph Smith's word for it. That's all we've got. And in the case of the Book of Abraham, things are even worse. We do have a manuscript with which to compare the Book of Abraham, but it doesn't say what the Book of Abraham says. The papyri that Joseph Smith purported to translate in the 1830s and early 1840s was rediscovered, and it turns out it's an ancient Egyptian pagan funerary text called the Book of Breathings, and not anything even remotely comparable to the Book of Abraham. So when we actually have textual material of an ancient origin to compare with Mormon scriptures, it doesn't correspond at all. Whereas, again, in the case of the Bible, we have ancient manuscripts of the Old Testament in Hebrew and Greek translations and other translations, and the New Testament in its original Greek language and other ancient languages translations of those. And anybody who has the time and the wherewithal to study ancient languages can compare what the New Testament and the Old Testament say in the original languages with what it says in any modern English version or any other language version, German or Spanish, and they can see for themselves it is what it says. This is a reliable representation of what these ancient texts say. And that's a very different situation than what you have with the Mormon scriptures.
Getting them back to that Bible is, of course, going to, I would hope, hold them. I guess what I want to say here is, it always amazes me that when a Mormon is thinking of throwing everything away, it seems to tell me that they never really owned their faith in the first place. Everything is based on the foundation of the church. If the foundation of the church crumbles, everything that was on top of that foundation is going to crumble with it. And it shows me that for many of these Latter-day Saints that go off into secularism, they never really own some of the things they kept insisting they believed in order to try and prove to us that they were in fact Christian in the first place. How can they just all of a sudden throw away the resurrection of Christ? I mean, didn't they really even believe that? Have they somehow convinced themselves that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, for instance?
Right.
I mean, this has always perplexed me.
Well, and I think that it would be good for us to spend some time, perhaps in a subsequent conversation, if we can do that, talking specifically about the resurrection of Christ and perhaps comparing it and contrasting it with the first vision. As you probably know, Mormons commonly draw comparisons between these two events and say that the first vision is the greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of the world since the resurrection of Christ, and try to draw some comparisons favorable to the first vision with that in the resurrection. Well, if you don't believe in the first vision, should you throw out the resurrection? You can see why a Mormon might do that, but you don't need to do that and you shouldn't do it. That would be worth something, that would be worth pursuing as well. But the point here is that what we want people to understand is that the Bible is reliable. True, there are things in the Bible that may not have all the answers for, there may be some apparent contradictions here or there that you don't know how to resolve. But in terms of its basic integrity as an ancient collection of writings by people who actually lived thousands of years ago and said the things that the Bible says that they said, you can absolutely depend on that. You can't do that with the Book of Mormon or the Book of Abraham.
As you're talking, Rob, I'm thinking of the term paper trail. There seems to be a paper trail with the Bible that there really isn't with the Book of Mormon, and it really ends up in the 19th century, whereas you can go back to these manuscripts. You're talking about all the New Testament manuscripts, but here in Utah right now, we have the Dead Sea Scroll exhibit, and that helps us with the Old Testament by
bridging
the gap from 1,000-plus years from the Masoretic text to be able to help us to know what we were reading in our Old Testament, including the prophecies of Isaiah were accurate. So there's a paper trail that Mormonism doesn't have.
There is. It's a remarkable paper trail, and it's a continuous paper trail. It's not interrupted at all in the last 2,000 years.
So a lot of what a Mormon might assume regarding the Bible, certainly based on their understanding that has been given by the church, and this is something that I've always been perplexed by. Here you have all these Christian scholars out there defending publicly why we can rely on the Bible. And I don't see Mormon scholars trying to help in that endeavor. Doesn't that seem odd that they would not want to help us show people that the Bible is worth believing? But yet in that arena, we find the Mormon scholars suspiciously missing.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.